May God's grace, His peace, His abundant, rich mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the one who is the bread of life. Amen. Our text is the Old Testament reading, part of the ministry of the prophet Elijah. Let's pray as we consider the Word of God further today. We pray, oh gracious Lord, give us your Holy Spirit. Pour out the Spirit on the church that we have open ears and open minds and open hearts to receive in faith your Holy Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have always loved the prophet Elijah. He is my favorite prophet of the Old Testament. Way back to when I was a little boy in Sunday school learning the Bible stories, I've always loved the prophet Elijah. A lot of fascinating things happen with Elijah. He's fed by ravens, if you recall. Thought that was kind of neat as a boy, being fed by the birds. He calls down fire on people. I really thought that was really, really cool when I was a little boy. He can call down fire on people. And here in the text, he eats a little bread and water. He's able to run for 40 days and 40 nights on just a little bit of food. And of course, we know he goes up in a chariot of fire and a whirlwind up to heaven. Now, that would really be great. We don't die. We're just going up into heaven. I've always liked Elijah. And so I hate to miss an opportunity to preach about Elijah when he comes up in the Old Testament readings. Elijah. His nickname is the prophet of fire, because fire has a big part of his ministry. He calls down fire again on the chariot of fire. He's a prophet of fire. May he be an example for us today. We start school here at First Lutheran on Wednesday. Our theme is school spirit, spirit with a capital S for the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit we know as the fire of God, the fire of Pentecost. And so may the Spirit, the fire of God, be in our school as we teach the gospel. May it be in our churches as we teach the gospel, in our homes as we teach the gospel. May our teachers be like Elijah, having the spirit of Elijah. And may our students have the spirit of Elijah. And maybe parents have the spirit of Elijah, and the whole church the spirit of Elijah. The spirit of fire. Let me say three things about the life of Elijah. He's quite a model for us. He is under fire. He is on fire. And he ends up on top of the fire. And this is Elijah, and this is the church, and this is you and I as the baptized. Under fire, on fire, on top of the fire, he's the prophet of fire. First of all, when you look at the story of Elijah, he is under fire, meaning he's persecuted. He's not liked. He's not popular. He's hated. He's persecuted. He's a lonely man. He's threatened with death. Elijah ministers during the time of Ahab and Jezebel. You have Ahab and Jezebel part of the reading. And they were probably the worst king and queen of Israel. They were terrible idolaters. They spread idolatry in the land, the worship of false gods. And they killed the true prophets of God. They taught Baal was God, the rain god who brought rain. Asherah was the goddess of the earth that would produce the plants and the crops. Get rid of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's great idolatry. And then there's the voice of Elijah who preaches judgment against the idolatry. And so as we read the text, Jezebel, the queen of Israel, she threatens to kill Elijah. And within one day, 24 hours, you're going to be dead, buddy. I'm going to kill you. And Elijah's afraid. We see the result sometimes of being under the fire. When we are persecuted and ostracized and ridiculed and threatened, and Lord knows there's many Christians that face what Elijah's facing, threatened with death for being a Christian. You want to run away afraid, and Elijah says, just take my life, I'm ready to die. My ministry has been useless, I haven't accomplished anything. Ahab doesn't repent, Jezebel doesn't repent, no one seems to repent. They don't listen to you, God, they're not listening to me. No one's being saved, they go their own way, just take my life, I'm done, I quit, I've had enough. That's what happens when you're under fire, you wear out, and you want to run away. And as we teach children, we think about that as we begin school. One thing we really got to teach children is there's going to be persecution. When I grew up, we just kind of assumed America was kind of a good country, and we were all kind of Christians, and everybody's going to kind of believe what you believe. They're going to believe in God and be a pretty good kid. So it's easy to worship, easy to go to church, easy to pray. All that's okay. Everybody else does it. It's not that way anymore. We got to prepare kids, and our school does a great job. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to bear a cross. Not all the kids are going to believe like you do. You follow God, you're going to be ridiculed, laughed at, persecuted. You're going to be lonely sometime. You're going to say, I quit, I've had enough, I want to go my own way. We got to teach children ourselves to expect persecution. We bear crosses. And often we feel like we've accomplished nothing. My son had a flat tire the other night. And I called, hey, you got a flat tire. So you don't. Many of you can change a flat tire in 20 minutes. For me, it might take a day or two, Pat. And my son's not a whole lot better mechanically than I am. And so we get the spare tire out of the trunk. That was kind of hard work to find out even where it is these days, although it was there. And Tom takes the lug nuts off. He struggles, but he gets them off, and he jacks it up after a while. And it's hotter than blazes out. It's like 109 degrees, and I'm sweating out there, and there's mosquitoes buzzing around, complaining the entire time about this tire. Again, the tire's lifted up, and we just got to pull it off, but we cannot pull it off. Tom tried to yank the tire off. It won't come off. Samson here tries to pull it off. I couldn't pull it off. My dear wife, Wonder Woman, couldn't pull it off. No one could pull off the tire. And we spent like 40 minutes trying to get this tire off. And so we just put it back down and get some fix-a-flat and drive and get it fixed. But what a waste of time. What a useless exercise. And it's just changing a silly tire. A lot more important things that sometimes we figure this is a waste of time. To love this person, to care for this person, to teach this person, to be a witness, to work hard, whatever it is, be a good neighbor, it's a waste of time. We're under fire. We're like Elijah, but it's not the end of the story. Secondly, Elijah is on fire. He's under fire, but he is on fire, a fire given by the Spirit of God. And you read about him in 1 Kings, he is a zealous prophet. He's a human, so he's weak, he's afraid. He wants to die, but oh, he is on fire at the fire of the Holy Spirit. This is why I love him. He's a zealous preacher of God. People don't want to listen, so what? I'm going to preach God's word anyway. He teaches and preaches and teaches and preaches that God alone is Yahweh. God alone is the Yahweh alone is God. That's what Elijah means. God is Lord. And that's his message. The only true God is the Lord, Yahweh. We call him Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. He's the only true God. There is no other God. Baal's not God. Asher's not God. He's the only true God. And this is another thing we've got to teach children today. In a world where people want to pick their own God, how we have to teach our kids there's only one God. And that's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's the only God. And anything else is idolatry that leads to hell. Now, your classmates and people across the world don't like that. So what? We worship the one true God, and we spread his love in this world no matter what happens. He's the only God there is. There is no other. Elijah's zealous. But I want you to note how God rekindles the fire in Elijah here in chapter 19. Elijah's a smoldering wick in chapter 19. The fire is almost out. He wants to die. How does God rekindle the fire in Elijah? Does God call upon Elijah to find some inner reserves? Elijah, call upon that extra 10% in you, and you can do it. Call upon the strength God gave you in here. Come on, Elijah, you can do it. No, God does not point Elijah to himself to find strength in himself. Because Elijah has no strength. Rather, he rests under a tree, and an angel comes and says, eat. And he eats. He could probably barely open his mouth. He's so tired. And he wonders if it's going to help. God rekindles the fire by putting his servant under a tree and feeding him. And God does the same for us. You're a smoldering wick. You have no fire anymore. You want to quit. We come and rest under a tree called the cross. This is Christian worship. We come under the shade of a cross and know my sins are forgiven. God has conquered all in the death and resurrection of his Son. I am a child of God. I am redeemed and saved. My sins are washed away. And I have peace and rest for my soul. And then God does more. God feeds me. His holy word in my ears. I hear I'm forgiven. I'm God's child. And he feeds me the very body and blood of the crucified, risen Savior, the bread of life. And I eat. And I may not think it's going to do a whole lot, but it does because it's Christ. And I leave to run 40 days and 40 nights. I leave to live forever in the kingdom of God. I leave to love my neighbor. I leave to serve my God and serve my neighbor and spread his word. Yes, I'll be tired. Yes, I'm scared. Yes, sometimes I don't want to do it. But I leave in the joy of the Lord, renewed by the fire of the Spirit as he feeds me, and I rest under a cross, a tree. This is the way of God. Praise be to God, Elijah didn't say, get this cake out of here and get the water. I don't want it. But he ate. And we come to eat. Don't say, I don't need communion. I don't need the word of God. I need something else. No, you need the word of God and you need communion for forgiveness and strength that we leave in the energy of the Spirit. And so we go forth to sacrifice all that we have for our God. I read an interesting quote this week. I don't know, I forget who said this, but it was a quote in a book. And the quote said this, it all boils down to this. Life boils down to this. Are you what you think you are? That's life. Are you what you think you are? And it sounded kind of like some psychological rumble to me, which I think it kind of is. And I said, no, I'm not. I am not what I think I am because I often think I'm a whole lot better than what I actually am. You too, William? Yes. Here's life. Life is not, am I what I think I am? Life is, God tells me who I am. And that's who I am. And that's life. Whether I think it or feel it or not, God tells me who I am. And that's who I am. And that's life. And God tells me, he tells you, you're a sinner. Elijah, you're a sinner, weak. Paul Busher, you're a sinner, and you're a sinner. You're no better than anybody else. You're a wretched sinner, poor and miserable. You deserve death and hell. And repent of it, and confess it, and realize it's true every day of your life. But God doesn't stop there. God says a lot more. At a cross says, God says, I forgive you your sins. Your sins are washed away, and you are cleansed, and you're reconciled to me. You have my peace. You're my child now. You're redeemed and forgiven. You're an heir of eternal life. You're a holy nation. You're a people that belong to God. That's who you are, a saint. Sinner, yes, but a saint. Pure and holy and forgiven. That's who you are, and never forget it. And as you leave church, live that way. Just be who you are. A child of the living God, and give your all for your Lord as he gave his all for you. And come back again and get your fire rekindled, because it'll grow weak, because life is hard. Elijah's under fire, he's on fire, and last of all, he's on top of the fire. We all know the great conclusion for Elijah. It's the wonderful story of his ascension into heaven. The whirlwind comes and God takes him on a chariot of fire through the whirlwind on up into heaven. He doesn't die. And the next time we see Elijah, he, of course, is there at the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. He's in glory, shining with Jesus. He's in heaven. He lives. And this is the end for all of us. We will die, probably. I don't think we're going to ascend on a chariot of fire. But the Lord may return while we're still living, and that would be great. Thy kingdom come. But we'll probably die. But that's not the end. We will ascend into glory and be with our God in the New Jerusalem forever. Why a chariot and fire for Elijah? Well, a chariot and horses in his day and fire would recall the royalty. It was kings and queens that would ride on chariots and horses. Normal people didn't have a chariot and a horse. They just walked around and maybe had a horse or a donkey or something. But a chariot and horses would recall royalty. And this is kind of like God's joke on Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab and Jezebel thought they were royalty. They were the king and queen. But God is saying they're not. They are the losers because they don't believe. And he's saying to Elijah, you are my king. Even though you were despised and you were a nobody and people hated you and you're crawling in the desert without any food and you think, take me, God. You are a king, Elijah. You have won. You are a conqueror. And come home to glory. And this is the end of the story. And this is what we really got to teach children. We are aliens and strangers here. And life is hard. It's going to get worse, friend.
that you have the Spirit now. You're God's child now. He will never leave you or forsake you. He loves you dearly. He will use you as a witness like he used Elijah. He'll do wonderful things in your life. But it's going to be tough. You bear a cross. That's not the end. You will wear a crown in heaven and you will win and conquer all things in heaven. So take hope and have joy and press on. We are aliens and strangers here, but all we have, the joy of heaven awaiting us. Elijah's life is our life. To conclude, I looked at Dennis the Menace, Pat, you like him too. And he had one cartoon this week where good old Dennis is holding his father's hand. He's holding his mom's hand. He's in the middle holding mom and dad's hand. And they are camping. There's a tent behind them. They have camping gear on and they're going for a hike. And Dennis has a smile and Dennis says, "I sure like this quality time." That's sweet. I sure like this quality time. Do you like this quality time with your father? He holds our hand today. He says, "Come away from the world for a little while. Let me feed you." He not only holds our hand, he puts us in his hands. And oh, how we love this quality time with our father. To be fed and refueled. But oh, how we will really, really, really love our quality time in heaven. It'll never end. Camping trips end. Vacations end. Summer vacation ends, kids. Okay? Tomorrow or Wednesday. Things end. That'll never end. It'll not only be quality time with our Father, it'll be quantity time. Forever and ever and ever in the joys of paradise with Elijah and Moses and Elisha and Jesus and your loved ones who died in the faith. Oh, the reunion that awaits us. So we press on. Elijah's under fire, so are we. He's on fire, so are we. Reignited today. One day we'll all be on top of the fire, reigning in heaven in glory. And with that we say what, church? Amen. Say it again. Amen. We stand and sing the offertory, page 192. May the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. 192.